Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing and world peace. Noticing our thoughts, releasing thoughts of the future or the past, presencing ourselves to the present moment right now. Envision a silver white light moving up your spinal pathway, up your spine, up your back, filling it with light like a spinning silver disc, all the way up to the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing our attention on the point between our eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom, creativity, and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me now. Today I more deeply understand that I can choose the quality of life that I truly desire. What a gift choice is. Even though, rather than choosing consciously, I sometimes may choose unconsciously. I realize how incredibly important it is for me to be clear in my own heart and mind what the quality of life I desire is. Ultimately, I will follow a spiritual principle or the habitual dictates of my ego. In saying yes more deeply to life, I realize that life can be a grand adventure, going places not only physically but in consciousness, going places I haven't gone before or perhaps have only visited infrequently. I now come to a deeper realization and actualization that underlining whether I am completing my past or creating my future, that I can do this being fully present, and that each moment is an opportunity to be fully self-expressive and make a difference in people's lives. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here together. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I am thankful for life itself. And so it is. And it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is being choosy. It's one of my favorite topics. You notice the word being? It's present tense. Being. Choosy. So hopefully we'll consider being choosy when we're completing our past, when we're being present, and when we're creating our future. And a lot of times people ask Eckhart Tolle, how can you be present? Especially he wrote the book Power of Now and Our New Earth. How can you be present? What about goal setting and things like that? And he says, well, you be present in your goal setting. It's about that simple. Hey? Okay. So I like the word adventure. This year's theme is saying yes to life in a greater, grander way. So are you willing to have your life be an adventure, going to places, not only locations, but places in our heart and mind, in consciousness, that we perhaps haven't traveled before or maybe very infrequently? So three things I wanted to bring to you this morning. First of all, a question. Are you and I really aware if we're consciously choosing or not? Are we really aware when we're just, well, not only that, are we really aware when we're choosing? And are we really aware if we're consciously choosing or unconsciously choosing? Number two, every condition and circumstance we have chosen at some level, either consciously or unconsciously. And I know that might be a little upsetting to some people. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. So are our thoughts. And whatever we're in alignment with, we will attract because of the energy and vibration. Number three, I don't remember where I heard this. I just heard it about 2 weeks ago, and I marked it down. I thought, that's a great statement. Luck is the residue of design. Luck is the residue of design. Because sometimes people say, oh, you're so lucky. Okay. You know, we all know that when we want to go on vacation, we don't go up to WestJet or go on the internet and say, surprise me. We know that. When we're gardening, we don't go up to, you know, Artnap seeds and say, mix them up. We have something in mind, don't we? We know that. What about in restaurants? When you go to a restaurant, do you kind of open the menu and go, what is it I really want to eat right now? Or do we say, what are you having? What are you having? What are you having? And not only because we're interested, but maybe we should have what they're having. Like that, you know. There's nothing the matter with that, but it's like, are we consciously choosing to that level? What about career and employment? One of the things that I usually coach some people on, I say, you know, whatever you've done in the past, make a list. And mark down all the things you liked about that particular position or career or employment or working wherever. All the things you liked about it and all the things you didn't like about it. Very good to get clear on both of them. Very good to get clear on both of them. And then what? You focus on what it is that you enjoyed. Now here's the downside. I think in every career or employment there's going to be some little thing that you think, wish that wasn't part of the job description. I mean, I have it here in ministry. And I mean, in real estate, when I was in real estate, same thing. But, you know, do you have more things about it that you love and that you can wake up and be passionate about and, like, you know, not say, oh, thank God it's Friday, you know, if you work a Monday to Friday schedule. Do we consciously choose our friends? Usually at the end of the year, I say, you know, like, start looking at who you want to spend your time with. But it's not only at the end of the year for the new year. It's like, do we consciously choose who we want to spend time with? And not, like, killing time. I don't like that term. Kill. Well, let's go kill some time. Hello? Who do we want to, you know, be with? Whether it's just, you know, for a couple of hours or live our life with. Now, sometimes people say, well, Gail, there's lots of things we don't choose. We don't choose our parents. Well, I wonder about that. Having a degree in metaphysics, this is where I'm coming from. What if? I'll give you a what if. I mean, I believe this, but you're entitled to believe whatever you want. What if? What if in realms of light, before you came here, in this incarnation, you got to see what else you needed to be exposed to, I'll say it that way, what else you need to experience before you could be at a next level or a higher level of consciousness, fully self-expressing who you are as a divine being of light and love. And out of that context, you're attracted to the right era, the right country, the right time, the right parents, the right family, for you to have whatever experience it is that's for you in your next step in your unfoldment of consciousness. So, some of us had great parents, some of us did not. This is not good news for some people. However, remember that we are, as A Course in Miracles teaches, we are not only students, we are teachers also. Sometimes we have chosen the family that we come to teach them something. Not like teach them a lesson. And sometimes it is like that. Sometimes it is. Okay, I'll leave that for a moment. What about goals? You know, when I've in the past taught life planning and goal achieving workshops that were really goal setting workshops, there's, you know, people don't realize how important that is. Each of you had a goal to be here today, otherwise you wouldn't be here, whether or not you kind of voiced it to yourself or not. There's short-term goals and long-term goals. Short-term goals kind of are spontaneous and kind of give us kind of a boost in self-confidence. And then long-term goals give us more purpose and direction. So both are necessary. But here's the thing. Both have to be in alignment with each other. Both have to be in alignment with each other. I'll just give you an example. A couple weeks ago, I spoke about building healthy bridges, and I spoke about health and vitality, etc. Say we have a long-term goal, not only immediately, but long-term. We want to live for the rest of our life, hopefully, a life of health and vitality and longevity. That's a long-term goal. So what would it be a short-term in alignment with that long-term goal? Some of the things I talked about in that topic about obeying the four laws of the body, our nutrition, our exercise, our cleanliness inside and out, and recreation and sleep and rest. You know? What about a relationship? You know, we'd like to have relationships in our life, and we could kind of hold that as like long term. We don't want to just have friends for a week or two and then different friends for another week or two or a day or two or whatever. So to be in alignment with that longer-term goal, what about saying the qualities that you say that you would prefer in your friendships? What about getting really clear yourself? What are the qualities that you would prefer in a significant other friendship or significant other lifetime relationship or partner? Then here's the little kicker. Are you embodying those attributes? Because unless we're embodying those attributes, how in the world could we attract someone that has those attributes? Okay, I'm going to get back to that in a moment. You all know that I've spoken on intention many, many times, even long before Wayne Dyer wrote his very powerful book, The Power of Intention. Where our attention goes, energy flows and results show. Intention alters our reality. It creates invention and it engenders results. Therefore, are we willing to put our attention on our intentions? And are we even clearer what our intentions are? Got to remember, thoughts are things. They're not like physical things that we see, but they are things, and they're like boomerangs. Thoughts create a vibration, and it's the vibration that attracts whatever it is that we're vibrating out there. So our thoughts are kind of like seeds in the crop of our experience of life. Our thoughts are like seeds of the crop of our experience of life. So are our thoughts intentional? I've got a little bumper sticker on the back of my car that says, "The universe rearranges itself to accommodate your picture of reality." The universe rearranges itself to accommodate your picture of reality. Many years ago, I heard someone at a New Thought conference say this, and it's really been in my mind. We think in secret, but it comes to pass. Our conditions and circumstance and environment is our looking glass. We think in secret, and it comes to pass. So what are we creating? What are we co-creating? What are we allowing in our life? What are we accepting in our life? What are we attracting in our life? What are we promoting in our life? What are we permitting in our life? What are we participating in? And what do we step into in our life? Those are all things for us to really look at. First time I spoke at the center in September, middle September of 1985, and the first time I spoke in the Edmonton Center of September of 1983, I said this: ideas have electromagnetic spheres of energy that attract to it whatever it needs to manifest. And sometimes, you know, this is a while ago, sometimes people go, "Wow, you know, I got to write that down," or whatever. Now, most people, because this is not new anymore. I mean, you can go to any kind of a workshop on any given day and you can learn about things like this or check out the internet. Now people just go, "Yeah, you know, that's right on. I know that, or I believe that, or I've experienced that, or I've read that many, many places." And some people with very big credentials are saying that. So it's like that. Maybe not exactly in those words. I'll say it again. Ideas have electromagnetic spheres of energy that attract to them whatever it needs to manifest. What we're saying is that it's the vibration. It's the vibration. So here at the center, if you come for any length of time, you'll probably get that what we really are about, besides remembering, discovering, uncovering, and discovering and expressing that who we are is our spiritual beings going through a human experience, and as spiritual beings, we are the power of love at the core. But also undergirding all of that is responsibility and accountability. Responsibility being the ability to respond rather than react to any given situation or person. You respond rather than react. We're far more than animals. We do have animalistic instincts within us, but we as human beings are far more than that. And accountability. Do you ever notice that you are the common denominator in a lot of things? You know, it's like, laugh at it. "Oh, yeah, I see this." And, okay. The wonderful thing about new thought is that you can have a new thought, a new idea, a new vibration, and attract something new. That's good news. That's very good news. One of the passages in the Bible that I like very much is, "And it came to pass." So know that this too shall pass, and that we can create something new in our life. Last week when I spoke about building bridges in consciousness with ourselves, I asked the question, it was one of the key questions at the beginning of the topic, do we realize that each moment is an opportunity for radical newness, or do we unconsciously recreate old patterns? What is it that we really want to create in our life? What is it? You know, so many times people, they have time for things. I'll say it this way, that don't make a difference. But they don't focus or create the time for themselves to really get clear about what it is, what kind of a life experience they really want. They've got time for a lot of peripheral other things, but it's like, will that make a difference in realms of light after you leave here? I don't think so. Some of the things. I don't think so. So we're each very, very equal. We each have 24 hours. What are our priorities? And it isn't only for us. This is really for our world now. I mean, I don't have to tell you that we got a few challenges in our world. All you have to do is click on the news or read the newspaper. So, you know, I don't have to speak about that. But you can make a difference by creating the world that you want yourself for your life, and it expands out into the world. So the question is, what is the quality of life that you really desire? Well, one of the key words there is quality. What are the qualities that you want in your life? Many times people say, you know, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and a lot of it is things. And that's all right. It's all right to have things. But underneath that, there's a quality of life that you desire underneath wanting those things. I don't care if it's a house, a car, a trip to Hawaii, a significant other, someone to be out of your life, whatever. If you go down deep enough, there's a quality of life that you're longing for, that perhaps you just haven't really asked yourself the question, so what are the qualities of life that I really, really want? Instead of just something showing up and saying, well, I sure don't want that. I guess I better think of something else. Here's a really profound statement. Underlying everything is for us to be fully self-expressed and to make a difference in people's lives, whether we realize it or not. I had an incident on the weekend. I was in Milestones with a friend, and I looked over, because we were seated a little ways away from the view, and I looked over, and there was a young couple that walked in with two young children. One was in arms, and in her arms, and the other one was in his arms. And they sat down, and throughout the course of the evening and dinner, I kept looking over there, and these kids were just absolutely well-behaved, but not only that, beautiful children. Like, they were beautiful children. And we had a lovely dinner, and as we were kind of walking out, I actually said it to my significant other, John. I said to him, you know, I kind of like to go over there and tell that couple what lovely children they have. And he just looked at me and he says, well, of course you're going to do that. Now, I'll get back to that about having people in your life that support your greatness. So I walked all the way back. And I knelt down and I just said to them, you know, I've been noticing your children all evening and I just want to tell you how beautiful they are. And you know, those parents' eyes and face lit up. They lit up. And I asked how old the children were and talked to them, and I walked back to John. John's just standing there smiling ear to ear, you know, like, gee. But you know, it later on when I was thinking about it, I kind of started to cry. Because how easy we sell out. How easy we sell out of little things. This is a little thing. It wasn't hard to do, and it made a difference to some parents. And you know what? It made a difference to me. Because as I walked out, I felt better than I was going to walk out 5 minutes ago. I was feeling great. We'd had a great evening. You know, it's like that. So watch for the moments and choose those moments consciously to make a difference. And support other people in doing that. If they say something, you say, of course you can do that. Or go for it. Or whatever. You know? You know, we're far more than birth certificates headed in the direction of death certificates. One of my spiritual teachers in a big workshop and I shouted it once here, and I scared a few people. They jumped in the seat, but what he did was said, choose, soul, and he yelled it at us. You know, there was a couple hundred people, participants, and it's like, choose, soul. And I'll tell you, I just really got it. Jim Rowan, who has led workshops to 70, 80,000 people via satellite, and I'm sure he could do it very similarly to what Oprah's doing it now, but I haven't seen him around for a while, but multi-millionaire, but talks really very practical things for us to move along in our life. He says this: when the why gets big enough, the how gets easy. When the why gets big enough, the how gets easy. So, again, what I'm pointing to is the quality of life that you want. Because sometimes we say we want this or we want that, so why do I want that? Not like, I shouldn't want that, why am I thinking of it? But why do I want that? What's the why there? What's the why there? And if we really look deep enough, it's because we want to make a difference in our lives and we want a particular quality of life that is a reflection of who and what we really are. That's what it is. It's underlying it all. It's to be fully self-expressive. I got a little teary here. I got to blow my nose. Excuse me. You know, I've designed 4 houses in my life, houses that we were going to live in, 2 in Edmonton and 2 since moving to Victoria 23 years ago, 24 years ago. And it's interesting when you design a house. I think I would have been a great architect if I wasn't doing this. But what you've got to get clear on and what you want, but you also got to get clear on what you don't want. And you got to get it down on paper. You got to ink it, don't think it. You cannot have a builder, which we hired, and say, I want this, 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 and remember, I don't want this, and I want... He'd say, well, where are the what? Blueprints, yeah. You know, I was clear when we had a large family. Some of you are new to the center this morning. My husband, Norman, died 4.5 years ago, but he and I were married 31 years, and we blended together 9 kids. And they were 4 to 15. I had to really think about the kind of house we wanted. You know? So, are we willing to design our life like that? With relationships, with friendships? Are we willing to be clear not only in our mind, but in our heart? To move those critical 9 or 11 inches from our mind, from our head to our heart. And it's very, very good for us to be very, very clear what we don't want. What we don't want. But we have to move from what we don't want to what we do want. Just like in designing a house. I don't want the kids to come in from the back door and have to traipse through the family room to get to a bathroom. That's what I don't want. So then what do I want? I want the bathroom, one of our bathrooms, near the back door. Or near the garage door where the kids will come in, take off their shoes, and yada, yada, you know? Just, okay. So, I was sharing with you a while ago that that I had listened to, I don't know who it was, on Oprah or who it was, and then I read it again about making a list of what we want in our lives and making a list of who we'd like to attract in our life. Now, I was pretty clear in my mind what I didn't want. And I was pretty clear in my mind what I wanted. But then after listening to that program or reading it or, I don't know, listening to a tape or wherever, I started to make a list. Now, here's the thing. I've been sharing with many people that I'm in a new relationship. And I've got a lot of friends in Winnipeg and Edmonton and really all over the world, a lot of friends here. And I sent out an email letting them know that I was in a new relationship. And there's only been one, and I won't even call her a friend. It's an acquaintance that said to me, I'm so jealous of you
She said, I've been declaring I want somebody in my life, and I've made my list. And she went on and on and on and on. And I thought, well, that's exactly why you haven't attracted anyone. See, I didn't need anyone. And neither did John. I don't need a man. And he didn't need a woman. Big key there. Huge. So what I did was I made a list, and the list is close to 70. I'm not going to share the whole list with you. But I'm going to share just a few attributes, just so that you get a sense of, like somebody said, 100 qualities. What? Huh? This took me about 3-4 days to do, with spaces in between. And I added and subtracted, and then I, like that, you know? What about integrity? Do you want a person in your life with integrity? I'm not talking only about a significant other. This applies to friends, too. To friendships, men and women, that are loyal and honest and faithful. What about kind and compassionate and considerate and polite? Has some manners. What about being trusting and trustworthy? A good listener and having good boundaries. Now, as I say this, are you reflecting that in your life? Don't expect yourself to have absolutely no boundaries and attract some very together person that has good boundaries. Won't happen. Then I looked at I had this whole list, these are all the qualities. Then I looked at, what do I enjoy in my life? This is not only for a significant other, this is for friendships too. What do I enjoy in my life? So I marked down all the things I'd like this person to enjoy. You know, what kind of music I like, enjoy children. Hey, I've got 9 kids, 13 grandkids, and 8 great-grandkids. He better like kids. You know? And then, pets. Oh, this is another whole story. Has to like pets. I like cats or dogs. Well, I've got a dog present in the audience, and John has 2 cats. Well, that might not be a problem, except Rosie came to us at 5 years old hating cats. So guess what we've been doing the last few weekends? Getting them together. This has been really funny. The first time we did it all wrong. Then John's a professor in University of Computer Sciences, so he gets on the internet, prints us out some stuff. Coaching on how to get cats and dogs together. Well, it worked. It's working. It's working. The second day, by the end of the day, granted, Rosie was here and Zoe, the big cat, was here, and all they did was look at each other. There wasn't, and Rosie was, bark, 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 bark. But I did have to have Rosie on a leash, and I did have to have a squirt bottle to let her know that was not acceptable behavior. I thought you'd enjoy that. So, you know, that things like that. I mean, what if you don't like animals and this guy or friends have 18 cats or something? What about enjoying going out for wherever? Where do you enjoy going out? Do you enjoy dining out? Do you want somebody to know how to cook? My husband Norman cooked for me for 15 years. And I'm going, does this mean I got to start cooking again? No. We're sharing the cooking. Be on good terms with his children, or his children if he has children. Do you want to get involved with somebody that the family is like, you know, and then you get involved with that? What about alignment in your spirituality? Alignment in your spirituality. Sometimes people say, well, when's John coming to the center? How come he's not attending the center? Well, I don't want to be his minister. And he doesn't want me to be his minister. And he will be here sometime. And he'll be on the little cruise next week. But we've certainly talked about what we believe and what we don't believe. And he comes from a family that his father was an Anglican priest in England. So we've had some real interesting discussions. What about financial independence? Want to attract somebody that hasn't got a job? And is mooching off of you all the time? Friend or significant other. There's friends like that too. What about having a prosperity consciousness rather than a scarcity consciousness? You notice I'm down to here. It's like here and here. And then I'm saying, some people might say, well, what about physicality? Okay, I put down 50 to 65 years of age. I'm 66. 5'10" or taller. You know. Healthy, perfect weight for the health, non-smoker, clean hygiene, tidy, neat, non- or casual drinker. I knew what I didn't want. My father was an alcoholic. My first husband was a smoker. Mm-mm. So, that's just a little sampling of something to think about, whether you're talking about significant people in your life and just people that you just want to hang out with. You just want to hang out with them. Okay, so I know you held up that sign, but I think I'm going to take another just a few minutes here because I went into that a little bit more than I thought I would. So here's the other thing that I want to say. I didn't go out with this person the first time saying, I have a criteria of 78. Do you think you ever would have wanted to see me again? No. But whenever I went out with anybody in the last 3 years, out for lunch or dinner, and they were single men, I made sure that in the conversation that I said that I'm very, very clear on what kind of a relationship I do want, and I have a criteria for them to be healthy and many other things. And somewhere along the line, I showed John the list after I knew he had all those attributes. Sometimes people say to me, well, this is fast, because somebody overheard me say that we were looking at houses. And everybody knows that I live in Sydney, and I have a lovely townhouse that I love. He lives in Fairfield and has a lovely house that he loves, and we're both near the ocean. So it's like, aye. So we decided that, you know, we're going to have our own house, not his house or my house. We spent 125 hours one-on-one just in the first 5 weeks we were together as far as a couple. Most people don't spend 125 hours before they've been with each other 2 or 3 or 5 years. Most people are getting married and they haven't spent 125 quality hours. I'm not talking about in bed either. I'm talking about getting to know the person deeply. At a very deep, intimate level. Intimate into me, see. He gets to see me, I get to see him. So it's not, oh, isn't that quick. What are your values in life? What's important to you? Luck is the residue of design. What do you want to attract in your life? Whether we're talking about relationship or perfect health or a move from scarcity to prosperity, you need to choose. You need to know that there's metaphysical fundamental laws that are operating in the universe when you choose and have intention. Then you have to visualize it, imagine it, feel it, and declare it. And when I say feel, it's like you move in consciousness. You move in. And then you have support. Have somebody in your life that will call you to your greatness. Have someone in your life that will encourage you for your next step. Have someone in your life that will... Norman gave me a card one time. I'm a card saver, especially if it really speaks to my heart. It was something like this, that you saw in me things that I didn't see, and you called it forth. I'm paraphrasing now, but that's the essence of what it said. I've got here a little diagram here of a bowl here, and here's your context, whether or not you're saying loving relationships, a great relationship, a great marriage, health, vitality, longevity, prosperity in every area of our life. That's your context that you stand on. And then inside there are positive and negative ideas and beliefs in your consciousness, that's your content. Now, what happens is when you take a stand for your context, and say, this is it. This is what I'm declaring for myself. Then what happens is anything that's out of alignment with this, and I've depicted it as pluses and minuses, negatives and positives, something that's out of alignment with your context will surface, and all of a sudden it looks like all hell breaks loose in your whatever. It's like, ah, this isn't working. Yes, it's working. That's showing you what you have to work on. That's showing you not your problem or your challenge. That's showing you a project. Take it on so that it's no longer a negative in your life. Okay, so no one can give you or take away from you anything that you haven't given yourself or taken away from yourself. So be clear on the quality of life that you want. I want to end with this quote from David Hawkins in his fourth book. To the spirit, great opportunity presents themselves in seeming calamities. And he lists things like war, earthquake, fires, major family disruptions, or serious health conditions. Or it could be any of these things that are surfacing. In these momentous instances, choice has to be made in a split second, and I've said this twice already today, to follow a spiritual principle or to follow the habitual dictates of our ego. So there you have it. Are you willing to be choosy?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, good. Yeah, good. I am too. I'm glad I chose you. At an unconscious or conscious level, we've chosen each other. You know why? We're here together. Isn't that great? God, presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Good.